mentioned last night to have some material out on display, some books that God has enabled me to write out there. There's sign-up sheets if you want to. I send out weekly prayer guides via email, as long as a monthly newsletter of what's going on with the prayer ministry. And if you're interested in getting that via email, there's a sign-up sheet out there. There's some cards if you don't have email or don't check it but once a month or whatever. There's cards out there. You can put in a mailing address and leave those and send them out that way. But this next section, we're going to focus on listening to God. And one of the reasons it's so exciting to me is because I think it's a long-lost practice. Not just listening to God, but listening. We're not very good at it as a people. And kind of tied it in, the reason that I have books available is they came out of my time listening to God. And it began with a book of poems. And I tell you, I don't read poetry. Up until a year ago, I didn't write poetry. I have no clue why these poems just started showing up in my mind, other than I was spending time in prayer, and that's what God gave me. And they just kept coming. And I talked about last night, in 3 months' time, I went from zero to 60 poems in a completed book. And it brought about the second book, which is a book of 52 of the weekly prayer guides. The third book is In Christ Alone. It's a 31-day devotional about the things that the Bible says we have or that we are in Christ. And it's this incredible, I think it's an incredible tool that helps define who we are. As I mentioned last night, the world does everything it can to define us according to its standards. We define ourselves by the mirror. We define ourselves by what people say. We define ourselves by our work. We define ourselves by a lot of things. But how does God define who we are? And so that became that third book, In Christ Alone. Fourth one that's in process, it's another book of poems. And I want to start this listening section off with one of those I called Hearing God. It says, how do you hear God, and how do you know what he wants of you or where you should go? Or have you decided it's impossible? Your life is all planned, it's already full. Knowing what God wants is just for the few. I'll never get there. I don't know about you. Sometimes I think that our search about God seeks an adventure or something quite odd. God's will must be hidden, at least from my sight. I've had no great request by day or by night. I read in the Bible and watch on the news. It seems it's the great ones that God would still choose. No one is greater than he who serves all. To humble ourselves is the master's first call. Look back in the Bible and here's what I see. A lot of great people who started like me. From humble beginnings with nothing unique, but a heart that was open to a God they did seek. To him who is faithful with the little things, God might open your mouth. You could speak before kings. God's will shouldn't scare you or be thought of as hard. It's much more deliberate than the draw of a card. He wants us to love him, to serve all mankind, to walk in his ways with our heart, soul, and mind. So when you're discouraged, thinking you've been left out, seek God's face humbly. He'll remove all the doubt. Be joyful in hard times and pray without end. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He calls you his friend. Rest in his goodness. Be filled with his love. Be faithful in all things till he calls you above. The big things get noticed because they are large. Don't worry about them unless you're in charge. Go to your neighbor and those who have need. Get rid of your pride. Remove all your greed. As you empty yourself, God has room to fill. And when he lives within you, you'll walk in his will. In each of these poems in the book, I usually write what my listening time was about or what was going on. And this one, I was resting in my office in the midst of a busy day. When I woke from a short nap, this poem was in my mind. I suppose part of it God had put there, and it kind of explains what you just picked up. I suppose part of it God had put there through time I spent preparing prayer guides for the next 2 weeks that will focus on God's will. I pray that God would fill us with a greater understanding of being faithful in the little things that we know he wants us to do. And so that came out of prayer time. All of the prayer guides that I write come out of my prayer time. And it just so happens that that one kind of had a bonus poem out of those. That's still in progress. The poems are all written. I've still got prayer points that I'm putting with them. Has been this incredible journey. And I often wonder and where we listen best. And sometimes I think we have such difficulty listening to God because we haven't figured that out. I always love the verse that talks about to be still and know that he is God. And I think for most Americans, that idea of being still is incredibly difficult. There's just so much to do. It takes so much to provide for the family. It takes so much. Work takes so much out of me. Family takes so much. Church takes so much. My entertainment takes so much. I don't have time to be still. And the sad part, for most people, that sounds true. And for most people, to set aside time to be still requires an incredible amount of work, an incredible amount of discipline. I feel privileged in so many ways to be a part of the staff here that I can take those times to be still. And I have the flexibility of working whatever hours I need, as late as I need to get the work done, so that this afternoon I could go down to the river and just listen and talk to God about the sessions that we'd be having tonight. And I know for so many people to be able to just take a half an hour out of your work to go to a quiet place and be still before God is not really possible. And so I know for many of you that the idea of being still sounds impossible. And particularly young families, I mean, not only do you have to work out you being still, but you've got your spouse, you've got the kids, you've got everybody wanting to just crowd in among you. I don't know the answer. I think you have to wrestle with God as to when it is that you can be still. But it's incredible. I was talking with a person Sunday as they were leaving, and they said that they've always, I think I shared this last night as well, they always felt jealous of those that would say they would hear from God. And as I described these poems as part of that listening, of hearing from God, she says, well, I've had stuff like that didn't make sense. I just dismiss it as craziness. And she made this comment, maybe I have been hearing from God and I'm just not listening. And I don't know. I don't know what it was she was dismissing to know whether it was God or not. But tonight, as we consider listening to God, I think it's one of the often overlooked parts of prayer. Many times we spend so much time focused on prayer as our talking that we forget that there's another side to it. I tell people most of our prayer life in America is kind of awkward. It would kind of be me like calling up one of you on the phone and just rambling on about what's going on in my life, and as soon as I'm out of breath, hanging up. And I'm sure you would be looking at your phone thinking, what in the world was that? And if you have caller ID, you may not pick up the next time. And I'm not saying God's not going to pick up the next time we call on him, but I sometimes got the idea that after we pray, he's sitting there looking at his end of the reception and thinking, what was that? And it's fascinating. Suzanne asked about this, and it's something we'll talk about a little more, I think, in Wednesday night. But it really applies as well to this idea of listening. Because I think it's such a critical part of why prayer, when done right, is so effective. And that is, when you pray, you sure had better be prepared to be at least a part of the answer to that prayer. Prayer, part of it ought to be making yourself available to God to do whatever he says to do. And maybe sometimes we know that. That's why we don't pray for our neighbor, because we don't want to have to go talk to them. And we're afraid if we pray for them, God's going to convict us that we need to go visit. And we know that through our time of listening. In your booklet, I kind of have this broken down. And we're going to spend most of the time on page 14. I kind of follow this with what I understand that the major banking systems do. They say in training people to detect counterfeit money, they basically spend all their time studying real money. So that they know that inside and out. And so that if anything doesn't match up to that, then it's fake. They don't have to study all of the fake possibilities. They just have to know what's real. And that's what I've always been told. I've never been in the banking circles to know how accurate that is, but it makes sense to me. And so we're going to spend most of our time really dealing with this part of God's voice. How do we recognize it? He says that I print at the top there one of these great passages out of Isaiah. And I love it because of the beginning as much as the end. And so many times I've heard verse 21 quoted, and it sounds like this great thing, but without verse 20, we miss the context. And there's a bigger context as well. But he says, although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them, whether you turn to the right or to the left. Your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And sometimes we wonder, because we're living in such a struggle, whether God's even speaking. And perhaps we've heard the verse 21 that says, whether you turn to the right or left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. But we've not heard verse 20. The context of this is they're hearing the voice behind them in the midst of adversity, in the midst of affliction, in the midst of struggles of life. And so the big question that I think we really have to struggle with is, how do we know the voice behind us is God's voice? And if it's not God's voice behind us, then whose would it be? Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. John 14:26 says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. God has given us his Spirit to help us distinguish that voice, to teach us, to remind us. Again, in John 16, 13, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And the famous verse from James 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given. And so we read throughout Scripture that God's plan, his desire, is to communicate with us. He hasn't wanted to leave us in the dark, although many times we go through life living as if we are. And so how does God speak to us today? And I think sometimes we get into that struggle of, I'm not one that's ever heard this audible voice that come booming out of the clouds that says, Tom, this is what I want you to do. But I think there's ways that God continues to speak. And sometimes, just as in praying with purpose, we don't pay attention to them because they take work. I think primarily God speaks today through his written word. And in order to listen to God, we have to read it. And that takes time. That takes effort. And we've got our favorite series to watch on television, and it's going to consume all of my time and effort. I can't read the Bible every day. He communicates through his written word. As we looked at scriptures already, he communicates through his Holy Spirit. God has put his Spirit within us. And sometimes I think we forget that. Or we think he's mute or unable to communicate, or we're not even sure why he's there. He's just taking up space. And yet Scripture teaches, God said in the verses we looked at already, we read, is that part of his purpose is to teach us, to instruct us, to guide us. And so there is within us. I think God communicates to us through other people. It's one of those that we have to be very cautious of, because people make up stories. Joking before we began, you know, the old 95% of statistics are made up, just like this one. But, you know, this idea that God can use other people to get our attention. We ought to go back and confirm it with Scripture. Make sure it's truth. You know, God's not going to tell us something that contradicts Scripture. And so if somebody comes and says, I have a word of God from you, from God for you, but it contradicts what Scripture says, you can be confident they're lying. I always loved when I would do a lot of traveling with Dean Troon, and because of just so everybody knew him. And so often we would be traveling and somebody would come up and God told me this about you, or God told me to give you this message. And his standard response, particularly if it was really off the wall, which many of the things were, he said, that's funny, I talked to God this morning and he didn't mention it at all. And so, yes, God does use people, but be careful. Because the enemy uses people as effectively and sometimes more effectively in getting us off base, of teaching us in ways that we shouldn't go. God speaks to us through circumstances. Again, once we get beyond God's word and his Spirit, we have to weigh it out according to God's word. I often say I grew up on the farm and we learned things the hard way. And sometimes that's a good way to learn things, but it's not an easy way to learn things. And sometimes our personality, our nature, requires a tough circumstances to teach us a lesson. You cannot read the Old Testament without seeing God use circumstances to communicate to his people. Bad circumstances, many times, because they refuse to listen otherwise. And sometimes it just takes that 2x4 upside the head to make you say, wow, what was that? And sometimes it's just this, and I'm not sure it's so much as he's using it to communicate or something to get our attention, but this restless spirit, we just know that internally we're not settled. And many times, at least in my life, it's this reminder that I need to spend time in the Word. I need to spend time in prayer. I need to spend time listening. Why do I feel so unsettled about this? And God wants me to draw to himself for an answer. He gets our attention sometimes by a word from others. Maybe we're kind of cruising along and just kind of autopilot. And somebody comes up and makes a comment that just kind of knocks our socks off and says, wow, how did they know? And it causes us to go back to God. People notice things. Times somebody will come up and says, you really look down. And maybe I haven't realized that in my own life, but God uses them to notice it and point it out. And I have to go back to God then and say, God, what's with this discouragement? Sometimes he gets our attention by great blessings. That's the one we always like. But it's probably the most rare of all of them, in my experience at least. But there's times where God just wants to pour out his love upon us and says, yes, I've got this. One of the poems in one of the, I think it's probably in the first book, but maybe one coming out. The family and I went on a vacation, and it was a long overdue vacation. We really needed to rest. And it didn't start out real well. The flight was delayed at the airport here in South Bend with thunderstorms and rain. So we weren't leaving South Bend till like midnight. Getting down to Florida at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. But the whole time I was just praying, God, just help us to enjoy this. And throughout the week, it was incredible. We'd be watching the forecast, and we were out on the Gulf Coast, and inland just 20 miles, it'd be raining and thunderstorms and pouring, and the sun was out where we were. And the entire week, and that kind of was the focus of this poem, was just God choosing to pour out his blessing. That we could say, wow, God, we didn't deserve it, but that sure was refreshing. That sure was needed. I think sometimes as parents, we understand a little bit of that there's times we just get something for our kids or our grandparents even more so. Probably understand it than parents. We just see something, yeah, that grandchild would love that. And we just want to bless them. And sometimes God does that in our life to get our attention. Sometimes it's unusual circumstances, things that we don't really expect, failure, something that we thought for sure we could do. There was no way this was going to flop, and for some reason it just blows up in our face. And typically when that happens, people take one of two options. We either blame God or we turn to God. Financial crisis, tragedy, sickness, suffering, all of these things that are what I would call unusual circumstances, probably not a good term because they're more usual than we'd like them to be. It forces us to decide, am I going to seek God or am I going to try to muddle through this on my own? And it's so many times in those tragedies, those sicknesses, those areas of unknown, Because we have nowhere else to turn, we choose to draw near to God and be still. We listen. And sometimes, unfortunately, it requires those things. And so as we look at that as a But as I talked about, one of the critical parts of listening to God is recognizing, is it God speaking or not? How do we know God's voice? And we've brushed on some of these. Number one, it must be consistent with God's word. That should be a no-brainer. That's a given. If we're seeking God, if we're being still, if we're listening for that still small voice, it must be consistent with God's word. Most of the time, it's going to conflict with human wisdom. If it's the way that the world normally does things, we may want to double check. Because God says his ways, man's ways are not his ways. His ways are much higher than man's ways. And so we really have to watch. Now, there are things that we've, sometimes the world has finally gotten wise and adopted some of God's principles, and so they mesh together. But also, it normally will clash with my fleshly desires. At least in my life, if I'm listening to God and I think he's wanting me to do something, and my first response is, "Wow, that's exactly what I wanted," I probably better listen a little more, because there's still too much of me in me. And if it's something that satisfies my fleshly desires more than benefits others, I'm probably just making it up myself and calling it God's voice. Typically, it will challenge my faith because God wants my faith to grow. And so he's wanting me to step outside of my comfort zone. He's wanting me to do something that requires him. It's one of the reasons that I think the poems came as poems rather than any other type of writing. Because it required me to trust, even putting them down, even sharing them. Because I tell you, I have no idea if it's a good poem or a bad poem, and I still don't. But I know God has been using them, and it required me to step outside of that. It challenged my faith. It recalls for courage on my part. It's typically not going to be easy. It calls for patience. Part of God's, the fruit of God's Spirit within us is patience. And so he wants us to grow in that. The Bible says that God is patient. Some translations use the word long-suffering, not willing that any would perish. And he wants us to have that same patience, that same long-suffering that would put up with others like he puts up with us. That we would not want them to perish any more than he wants them to perish. So he calls for patience. Things to consider about the voice of God, if we're still struggling, it matches with Scripture. It's met some of these other tests that we've run on it. Maybe some other questions to ask ourselves. How will my actions influence others? If I follow through with what I believe God's trying to teach me, what influence, what impact will it have on the lives of others? Yeah, I said that's just a generalization. There are times that I think God gives us direction and things that are just meant specifically to bless us. And it kind of is out of that overflow of our blessing that others are blessed. What will be the consequences if I do this? Will it be good, bad? Will it lift up Jesus? Will it harm the name of Christ? Will it bring false accusations? You know, the Bible teaches us that we're to avoid even the appearance of evil. And I think sometimes we like to see just how close we can get. And then when people accuse us or try to put us in a place that we really never went, we say, well, I didn't go that far. But what does godly counsel say? You know, sometimes we just need to sit down with others that are willing to pray. So I think God has been really pulling me in this direction. Would you pray about it? And then can we get back together and see what God's, you know, if this really is of God? And again, I have to emphasize godly counsel. You can surround yourself with a lot of people, but you need godly people that are willing and able to, as much as we can as humans, take self out of the equation. What does God have to do? Will it stimulate or encourage my spiritual growth? God's desire is that we grow, that we not remain infants. And so his voice leading us, directing us, is going to be a voice that stimulates my spiritual growth. Do I have peace about it? Part of the fruit of God's Spirit is peace. Do I have that peace that surpasses understanding? Particularly when the areas that we talked about that's going to stretch my faith, that's going to challenge my human wisdom, that's not going to be comfortable. Is there a peace that God's got this? You know, as we look at that, you know, that's how we know God's voice. As I talked about, printed in here, the enemy's voice, there's three key elements that I think that we can use to identify. To recognize the enemy's voice is false. Just false. If you're hearing something and you just know it's not true, that definitely is not of God. But then he uses these two elements that make us wonder if it might be true. And the enemy's voice is confusing. I mean, that I think if you read even that initial temptation of Eve and Adam and the whole garden scene, there was so much in there. He wanted it to sound true, but he also wanted to confuse, to get them double thinking in their mind of what did he really say? That sounds kind of like it. And sometimes it's just flat out deceptive. And that was a big part of that early garden scene as well. You know, those elements are in what you're hearing and what's, and again, these are great for the enemy tries to come at us. And he'll disguise it as much as he can. And you just got to dig through. Decide, is it true or false? A couple other voices, and sometimes we forget that sometimes we almost think, well, if it's not the enemy's voice and it's God's voice. Well, there's some other voices. Sometimes it's just the voice of others. They're not necessarily influenced by God or the enemy. They're just influenced by self. Might not just be a battery issue. Okay. People are selfish. I can tell you that because I am. That's the Bible says that's part of our flesh nature. Our desire to satisfy the flesh. And so sometimes the voice that is behind you saying this is the way you ought to go is just the voice of someone else that wants you to do that. And we have a nation full of problems because people listen to the voice of others that they shouldn't. But sometimes it's not God's voice, it's not the enemy's voice, it's your voice. For lack of a better word, talking to myself, convincing myself that this is the right thing to do. Because I want to do it. And for most of us, if we're honest, it doesn't take all that much to convince ourselves that what we want to do is what God's telling us to do. Or the same thing. I've made up a good plan, and it has to be from God because it's a good plan. Never mind that I made it up. And so it's our voice. And so how do we recognize the voice of others? How do we recognize our own voice? I think for both of those, we really have to settle into that question, who does this benefit most? Predominantly, the voice of others is going to benefit them. The voice of ourselves is going to benefit us. The voice of God is going to benefit others, the kingdom. Something bigger than just us. So, what do we do about it? That's typically the last question in all of these sections. How do I start listening more intently? I think there's a couple things that I do that might be helpful. Ask God questions. If you're not clear, I use this line quite a bit. Because God, I'm pretty dense at times. I didn't understand what you're trying to tell me to do. Could you repeat that? Again, some of that depends on our attitude. But ask questions. God's not playing hide and seek. He wants that relationship. Anticipate God to answer. Like I said, sometimes we don't hear from God because we hang up before He has a chance to say anything. And so as we ask questions, so we go to God in prayer, do we wait? The more time we spend in Scripture, the more likely it is that God's going to bring a Scripture that we've read to our mind as an answer. Yes, He has the power to put Scripture in your mind that you've never read. But in my experience, it's much more likely that He's going to remind me of something that I've already seen, that I've already read in His Word. And so, again, when I'm talking about listening to God, the primary way that He speaks, at least to me, is through His Word. So I'm not, trying to talk about anything weird or out there. To be alert to confirming events. Typically, God doesn't give us the full plan all at once because then we don't need faith. He typically speaks to us and in His Word directs us into the next step. And He waits to see if we're going to take it. And so when we take it, we can watch for confirming events that, wow, that worked. God was there. He caught me. He kept me from falling through. He It was his voice. Mentioned earlier, I sometimes have to ask him to speak clearly. I think there's a couple things that I do. One is I find a location that has as little distraction as possible when I need to seriously listen. And that I'm talking about specific times of listening. I think we ought to be listening to God all the time. And to say, okay, I've got a place here that I go and I listen for 10 minutes and then I ignore him the rest of the day is kind of foolish. But I think it's those intentional listening times that bring his voice into tune in our life. And so as Jesus talks about in John 10, that his sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And the more time that we can spend intentionally listening to God, the more we're going to recognize his speaking in the times we're not intentional about listening. We're going to say, that sounds familiar. That sounds like the voice of God. Those words I recognize. And so nature is one of those areas for me. I know some people that nature freaks them out and it would be the last place in the world that they would be comfortable listening to God because they'd be so worried about being eaten alive by bugs or bears or whatever. And they find somewhere that they are comfortable listening. But for me, whether it's just a walk out in the woods here on the property or I've been enjoying going down the river walk or state parks or things, it's just spending time alone with God. And listening. And it usually begins with conversation on my part. Today it was conversation about these sessions. And asking God to refine them. And then I would have been foolish if I didn't listen to what he wanted done. And so part of this process is for you to decide what's your next step. Where are you in listening right now? And what do you need to do next? Father, thank you that we could gather tonight, we could spend time considering what you have to say. Father, we don't listen as we ought. We get so busy. We get so distracted. Help us to be more deliberate about knowing your voice, about spending time in your word. May our life honor Jesus. May we do the things that he calls us to do, that we would know what they are. Father, help us to seek you in prayer, to build that relationship through the communication that you give us. May we find time to be still and know that you are God. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I also had, and I'll put those over on the step as well. I almost forgot about them. One of the weeks that I did a prayer guide specifically on listening, you can look at this when you're done, take it with you. But the areas that I focused on was to listen with understanding. And there's scripture there. Jesus calls the crowds to him and basically says, listen and understand. To listen for reconciliation. And he talks about if conflict between brothers, to just go to your brother. If he listens, then you've won your brother over. To listen to the Son. You know, God has called us to listen to Jesus. To listen patiently. Sometimes we have a tough time listening patiently because, well, we want to talk. And I think it's one of the big hindrances to listening to God, to listening to people, is we're so busy trying to make up our response in our mind that we don't hear what they say. And so to listen with patience, to listen eagerly. CJ and I was laughing about this verse the other day, but it says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. To listen for instruction. And so those are some things that I'll put over there as well. Did want to close poem that I called Listen. Seemed fitting to close out a session on listening. Like it or not, we need to find inside of our head, somewhere in our mind, something that's missing and something that's rare to open our ears and show that we care. Everyone seems to have something to say. No one is listening. We just go our own way. Lazy or careless, either could be. I can't seem to help it if no one hears me. So many people trying to be heard. Today there's no chance to get in a word. Even more sad is this little news. No one hears God when they do what they choose. Listen intently to this little poem and hope you'll be ready when it's time to go home. Search deep within you for what you must do to listen to Jesus when he calls for you. Eagerly seek him with all that you are. Notice he's waiting. He's close and not far.